As always, shall we ask for God's help? Because you don't want to hear what I think or what my breakfast has got to say. We want to hear what God has got to say by his Holy Spirit through his word. So let me pray. Father, we pray that you might help us to understand what you've said to us, that we might love it and we might live it. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you've been here at all over the past maybe term, we've been thinking about true stories from Peter's letter to some of Jesus' friends. And one of the big questions we've been asking is, what kind of church does Jesus want us to be? Grown-ups, if it's helpful on our church running issue, there's a few little headings in there. Kids, I've got some bits for you to use as well. But we come into land today with the final 14 verses of the true story. And I've split it into three sections, if it helps. God's people need to be led. God's enemy wants to be fed. And God's promises will be kept. Here is where you're going to need the paper plates on your tables. Because what I'd love you to do is take a blank paper plate, boys and girls, and on one side you're going to draw a lion, and on the other side a shield. So here's my version earlier. Here's my lion going roar. That's why I get paid the big bucks. And on the other side is a shield. I've got a J shield for Jesus, and he just says, I'll protect you. Fiona thought mine was rubbish, so here's her lion. And on the back, Jesus will... We need a shield to protect us from the lion. Okay? So that is your challenge. On your tables, you should have... If you have stuck your paper plate together, or burnt it, or dribbled on it, I've got some spares. There you go. Amila, you got one. If you want any more, there's that. But here's the thing. I need you to listen to me as you do that so you know what our true story is all about. Here's the first part, grown-ups as well. Verses 1 to 5. God's people need to be led. Have a look at this. Which one of these do you think is going to be the better at leading God's people? On the one side, we've got the slick-looking businessman. And surely, you might think, that's what the church needs, yeah? A leader needs to be like a chief exec. Someone who knows how to bring success. Someone who knows how to raise the most money, to bring the most people in. They need to be an entrepreneur, a self-starter, a go-getter. That's what the church needs, right? On the other side, some might say, no, we don't need the chief exec. We need an army general. A serious professional. Someone who is clearly in charge. Someone who can get everyone to do exactly what they need to do. And with their grit, their determination, their orders, well, that will get the job done. Boys and girls, what do you think? Hands up if you think the church needs a brilliant business executive. Hands up if you think the church needs a brilliant army general to get things done. What do you think? Nate, what do you think? Amari, what are you going for? Now, there's loads we can learn from successful business people. That was my background. I hope there's been some things that have been transferred. But let me read God's words again from verse 2. Here's my Bible. And see if you notice a difference. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. Watch over them, because you want to, not because you're forced to. Do it because you're happy to serve, not because you want money. Don't rule over the people you're responsible for, but be an example to them. Peter's saying, well, God's people need to be led, but not by a general or a boss who orders, but by a shepherd who cares. There's a story from a while ago about a guy who wrote to his mentor, complaining that he only had 22 people in his church. The mentor wrote back and simply said, you will find that is more than enough to be accountable for when Jesus returns. There's such a high bar that the Bible sets for those who will lead God's people. It's not just a gig for anyone who likes a platform or the sound of their own voice. Certainly not, Peter says, for someone who wants money or craves power. Pastors are to lead eagerly, not greedily. Just like a shepherd looking after their sheep, here's the shield, boys and girls. The role of the minister is to search for the lost, to strengthen the weak. It's to comfort the grieving, to challenge the weary, to rescue the fallen, to feed the spiritually hungry, to protect the vulnerable. Grown-ups, on your sheet there is a quote from a German pastor during World War II. And he said this, he said, "The church does not need brilliant personalities, but faithful servants of Jesus." That's from a guy called Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was put in prison and then killed for living that. It's such a challenge, isn't it? As we think about what kind of church we want to be. But leadership is not so much about hierarchy. If anything, it's about a lowerarchy. God's people need to be led. Not by force of personality, but by the beauty of Jesus' example. Boys and girls, grown-ups, just before we move on, notice one of the words that comes up again and again in verse 5, if you've got a Bible. Just have a look down with me. All of you, Peter says, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God is against the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humility is the first word of verse 6 as well. In fact, it reminds me of this. Does anyone know what this is, boys and girls? Okay, Jeff. Jeff's right. It is a violin, but what kind of violin? A wooden one. Thanks so much, Anne. It is a violin. Can I tell you something, though? It's what's called, it's what one conductor called the hardest instrument to play in the whole orchestra. It is a violin, but it's a very specific violin. It's called the second violin. He said, "I can get plenty of people who want to play the first violin because they get the spotlight. They're in the camera. They get the best notes. It's not so easy to find someone to play the second violin because no one notices them. And yet without them, there would be no harmony. The orchestra just wouldn't work. The call to us as a church, Peter says, whether we are leaders or followers, is to humbly push others forward and ourselves back, to humbly serve one another. We're going to have a song that helps us to think about that. So boys and girls, if you're able, jump on your feet with me. Grown-ups, I'm going to need your help as well. It's a song called "It's a Light and a Hammer," reminding us of how God's work changes. And we're going to come back in to the second part of our true story from the Bible. How are we getting on with our shields and our lions? Well, here's how that connects, because we're thinking about how, well, God gives grace to those who are willing to humble themselves for the sake of Jesus and his people. But there's a twist. God's people need to be led, but God's enemy wants to be fed. Boys and girls, put down your masks for me, your shields for me. And I would like you for a moment to close your eyes. Grown-ups, I'd love you to do it as well. And imagine you are camping in the middle of an African safari. Now, the benefit of being at the front is I can see if you're not closing your eyes. Close your eyes, boys and girls, and imagine you are camping in the middle of a safari. Can you picture the scene? Imagine snuggling down in your sleeping bag, the wind drifting past. You're just going off into a dream. And then you hear this. That would freak you out in real life, wouldn't it? That would freak you out in real life, yeah? Well, Jesus tells us today that this is real life. There is an enemy who wants to be fed. In fact, let me read verse 8 again. Be alert and sober. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, refuse to give him, standing firm in the faith, knowing that your brothers and sisters all over the world are having the same sufferings as you. Jesus says that there is a spiritual reality that lies behind the struggles and the suffering of our world. And in a world that is so quick to dismiss that, well, I guess we need to hear this again and again. This is a spiritual reality, Jesus says. God has an enemy who wants to be fed. Boys and girls, there are plenty of people in your classes, grown-ups, there are plenty of people in your companies who will say, you are silly to believe there's a devil. But Jesus says the opposite. Jesus says you'd be silly to ignore the devil because he's prowling around looking for someone to harm. Grown-ups, let me nuance this slightly for us, if that's helpful. The devil is not necessarily the cause of all suffering, but he is like an enemy whose ears are tuned to the sufferings of God's people. When we struggle, he sees an opportunity. When we're fearful, he comes knocking. When we are weak, he sees the chance to divide, to cast doubt on God's goodness, to question the truthfulness of God's word, and to live the Christian life, you have to fight. But it's not a fight, the Bible says, you have to do alone. Grown-ups, verse 10 I think is really helpful. Because at the end it says, well, God is the one of all grace, and God is the one of all power. And his commitment to serving you, even to death, is all the evidence you should need. My friends, as you draw your lions, the lion isn't meant to be a cuddly, friendly creature. It might look so behind a cage at the wildlife park, but if you go with the other side of the fence, well, please don't go the other side of the fence. A shark in a cage in the sea might be an attraction, but a shark outside the cage with you next to it is nothing fun at all. The Bible is 100% real. That following Jesus will often lead to hardship and suffering. It will be uncomfortable. It will be costly, but Jesus will make everything right. In the cross and resurrection, well, the lion has been defeated by a greater lion, if you like. And while he still roars around looking for someone to devour, at the end is decided God's promises will be kept. That's our final heading today. God's people need to be led. God's enemy wants to be fed. But God's promises will be kept. Verse 12 says this. I wrote this short letter with the help of Silas. He is a faithful brother in Christ. And I wrote to comfort and encourage you, to tell you that this is the true grace of God. Stand strong in it. The devil would love you if your attention is fixed on him and you're trembling and you're scared and you're worried how he might get you. You're worried about how big and bad he is. But while Peter wants us to be real about the threat, here's where the other side of your craft, boys and girls, is actually the most important one. We want to have our eyes wide open to the threat, but never doubt who is in charge. To stand firm in his grace, the grace God gives us in his word. So as we draw into land with 1 Peter, some of us might be tempted to try and go it alone. And yet Jesus says, live today in light of eternity. When this world tempts you to think, well, this is our ultimate home, let's get comfy, let's settle down, let's ignore anything that might cause pain, let's ignore any call that might be costly, let's ignore Jesus' return. Well, the Bible says, remember, he is the one who is coming back. Despite the suffering we might face, God promises us new grace each day, and Jesus assures us that all those who trust in him have been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That was what Peter told us right back at the beginning, and that's how we end as well. It's my prayer that you might know the hope and assurance that God's promises will always be kept, though he has an enemy who roars around. It's an enemy that has already been beaten, and God will protect his people. It might be you're here today, and that's just a really timely reminder. It might be you're here today and you think, do you know what, I've never really owned that for myself. Well, today would be a wonderful day to take God at his word and say, well, this is the kind of God I want to follow. The kind of God who would lay down his life for me and then be raised up again to stand and protect me. Now, let me give you a moment to think about that, maybe with these two questions. What's the one big thing that Jesus wants you to know today? And what's one way that should make a difference? Let me give you a moment together to allow you to do business with the Lord in the quietness of your own heart. And then we'll join back together.